Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for April 16th, 2023 is based on John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This week we have a guest preacher, Reverend John Hitzeroff.
An introduction to the gospel. The risen Jesus appears to his disciples, offering them a benediction, a commission, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. But one of their number is missing, and his unbelief prompts another visit from the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. A typical greeting, and this time of the year, in Eastertide, is one that calls for a response. I'm sure you know it, so I'll try it. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Well, very good. That's what we keep reminding ourselves of throughout the Easter season. While this Sunday after Easter, no matter what year it is, you always have the reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. The disciples in the room, Jesus showing up the first time, Thomas not there, Thomas telling he's not going to believe, then Jesus showing up again and saying, "Here I am, trust me," and Thomas does. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that this Sunday that has become known as Doubting Thomas Sunday. And so we can easily just beat up on poor Thomas. You know, after all, you know, we certainly wouldn't be like that. Yeah, right. But anyway, I'd like us to focus on a little different part of the gospel reading. The end. All these things were written so that these things were written. He says, I didn't write everything that you could. I could have, you know, all these other signs and stuff that were going to happen. I could have written about those, but I wrote about what I did so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, trusting, that's the actual word, trust, if you trust that, you will have life in his name. Life. Life in Jesus' name. When one went through this past season of Lent, and if one didn't use a special series like you did here at Resurrection, you would have read from the Gospel of John most of the Sundays. And they were encounters with different people. Nicodemus, the woman at the well, the man who was blind from birth, and then the raising of Lazarus. People who all received life in Jesus' name. So now John continues this week, and except for next week when you have the road to Emmaus, you go back to John for the rest of the season of Easter too. What does life in Jesus' name mean for us today? Well, like I said to the kids, it means peace is with you. That's okay, that's a better translation than peace be with you. It's not a command, it's not an exhortation. It's peace is with you. You know why? I'm with you. Jesus, peace is with you right now and forever because I'm raised. And Jesus is the one who seeks out the disciples. Notice where they are, either behind locked doors and afraid, or the next week they're still behind closed doors. I don't know how afraid they were the second week, but at least they were still wanting to be walled in, okay? Jesus comes and seeks us out too. And think about the ways in which we build walls to protect ourselves, to keep ourselves safe, or to hide from fear. And what Jesus does in that upper room the first week and the second week is commission, like it said in the introduction, these disciples. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now that's a loaded statement, because don't forget what God the Father sent Jesus to do. Die. Not exactly a pleasant thought, and especially bringing it up, that's why guest pastors do that on the Sunday after Easter. I can bring up the hard facts. You don't have to live with me as your pastor. You got to die. Well, thank God for baptism. Because through baptism, we're joined to Christ's death and resurrection so that we can live a new life. We can have life in Jesus' name. Now, we still might have the question that Thomas had, where is this resurrected Lord? I didn't see him. Have any of you seen Jesus lately? That can be a challenge. Now, I know at the second service, there's something called God sightings. And I think that's not necessarily a bad thing to do. Because how do you see Jesus? You see Jesus through the actions and the effect of God's love and peace in the world around us. Or maybe even in the suffering and in the challenges, you can still see God. Well, according to John, as chapter 20 unfolds, which we might have read, I don't think you read from John 20 last week, but John 20, first few verses, he's not in the tomb. Okay. Well, he's in the garden, and he gives Mary a commission. Go and tell the disciples that I'm raised and I'll be there to find them. I'll find them, he says. Not they're going to come and find me. I'm going to find them. And so we need to look for Jesus where we least perhaps expect him. Where will that be for you this week? probably in those places that you know you'd never find him. And you all have those. I know I do. You know, it can be in the neighbor that chooses to mow their lawn on Sunday morning. During worship. It can be the person who, for you, either at work or at play, or at school, you really don't want to have to be around. Because either they're trouble or they'll get you in trouble. Right? And that's where Jesus shows up. Not necessarily in that person, but rather in the way in which we treat that person and relate to that person. When Thomas is confronted with nail-scarred hands and with a pierced side, all he can say is, "My Lord and my God," an exclamation of faith. But just like Thomas, too often what we do when we have these people in our lives or these situations in our lives, we're just like him. Remember what he said? "Unless I see the mark of the nails and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." Well, our phrases are very similar. "Unless I see my loved one survive this illness, God, what are you doing? Unless I get the job I really want, God, what are you up to? Unless sufferings and disasters in the world cease, it must mean you're not here. Unless I feel worthy enough, God, where are you?" Well, I wasn't going to beat up on Thomas. I will beat up on you. We are all like that, aren't we? Unless something happens and so we get what we want, how faithful is God? Well, how faithful is God is in the reality of Jesus' presence among those disciples. What did he show them? Nail-scarred hands. A pierced side. Not one that was perfect, but rather one that suffered and died for you and for me. And that reality brings us then to the promise of the Spirit. Because as Jesus opened his arms to all on the cross, so he then enfolds us with those same arms and gives us the peace, as it says in John, that the world cannot give. Peace, forgiveness, and gives us a witness. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So when we gather to worship, or when we gather as fellowship, or when we gather for whatever program, I guess this coming Saturday there's the prayer service at Miller Park, is that right? So when we gather ecumenically, I was able to join you all for the vigil last week with St. Patrick's, and it was great. When we gather like that, the Spirit is with us. It isn't just peace be with you. Rather, it's peace is with us. And it's a witness then to the whole community. The reality of the bread and wine is the presence of Jesus among us. The reality of God's water and word together redeeming us and claiming us to be God's own is with us. And that peace and forgiveness. So, when Jesus says to the disciples, and he breathes on them, of course the word "breathe" is the same word that's used way back in Genesis chapter 2, when God breathes into the clay. Gives you an idea of, gospel writers read the Bible. They knew what words to use. When he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," I'd ask you to think about what the disciples might have felt. And to do that, I'd like you to close your eyes. How does the Spirit feel to you? How does the Spirit move around you? How does the Spirit fill this space? What is the Spirit saying to you? I encourage you to take time to ask those questions of yourselves, perhaps with your eyes closed or without them closed, throughout the week. How does the Spirit feel? How does the Spirit move around you? How is the Spirit filling your space? What is she, the Spirit, saying to you? A pastor friend of mine told of a friend of his who told of a water cooler conversation at his friend's office. His friend acknowledged being in church on Sunday morning, and the person he was talking to answered with the advice, "Get a life." Being in church on Sunday, get a life. Now, the friend immediately replied, getting a life was exactly why he was there at worship. Life in Jesus' name. Life that breaks into our walled up, fear-filled, peaceless at times lives. The peace that our Easter Lord gives to us. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.